Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast, your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, the founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 digital content creator, Kenny Stubblefield. And we are back this week on the heels of yet another Memphis win, and we will break that down today. Got some other news today. Very interesting, Kenny.
Major breaking news.
Got an email about Memphis's home and home with Boise State.
I was like, oh my gosh, but, Boise State.
Well,
this is good.
Well, you see, I called Jonah, and I was like, Jonah, did you see this? Like, this is good. This is a good schedule. And he's like, did you check the date on it? And I was like, no, I did. I just glanced at it. And he was like, it's 2030 and 2031. So hey, that one was a bit of a damper. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Moving right along from that.
I mean, where is Memphis going to be in 10 years, Christian? Like, where, if you had to guess, like, where do you think Memphis football, athletics, where is Memphis going to be?
Who knows? And I'm not speculating on it. We're just going to move right along from that and go into Memphis basketball.
I heard you say SEC. They're going to be SEC school next
year. Yeah. Don't make people think I'm talking like that.
I'm joking, people.
So, anyway, Kenny, Memphis wins their third consecutive game on Tuesday night, this time against SMU, in an offensive game. First time Memphis has really won a back-and-forth offensive game all year. So, they're showing us that they can win in different ways. They can win on the defensive end of the floor, the offensive end of the floor. Completely different team. These last three games is a complete flip of the script from what we saw through the first 11 games of the season. So, third in a row, impressive win at home. They'll be in Dallas on Thursday night to take on SMU once again due to this weird scheduling because of COVID. They will play two games in three days against the same team. So very weird. Penny talked about it last night after the game and said that's something he hasn't done since the NBA. So that will be a different experience for him as a college head coach and then this team as a whole. But Kenny, let's get into the game last night, break it down a little bit. Instantly from the game, I'm sure you had some thoughts. What were those on the 4-point win over SMU?
Yeah, I mean, it was the Tigers won that game twice, or at the very least, they showed me just a major difference in their team in two different ways. That comeback, I think I texted you and Brooks last night during the game, that comeback, the run, the 17-2 run at the end of the half, in my opinion, was a season changer for the Tigers. It was the culmination of a definite seismic shift in the direction that the team was headed. And, you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago, where in every single game, there's a time where you're holding on to a rope and you could either let go or pull back. And I think a few weeks ago, the team that we saw would have absolutely let go of the rope against SMU last night in the first half. But they fought their ass off in the last half of the first half. And that was an impressive run. It was an impressive, and the way they did it through their defense. They weren't hitting crazy shots, bad calls, anything like that. It was they knucked up and said, we're gonna fight you with our defense, and their defense is what got them back in the game. And then go ahead, Christian. I don't want to keep talking because I can. Well, let's go into the second half in a little bit. But just in the first half, those are my thoughts about the first half of the game.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about it a little bit differently because we have seen Memphis make these comebacks in the first half and early into the second half. They did it against South Florida, I believe. I think they were down by 10 to 14 points in that game and came back. But the thing that we saw differently in this game is that they carried that momentum over. Even in that South Florida game when they came back, it was still down to the end, one-point game. And this one kind of was, but it never felt like it slipped away. And I don't know if I'm crazy in thinking that, but from me, from watching the game, it felt like the entire time Memphis was going to end up pulling out that game somehow. I started writing my pregame article with like 6 or 7 minutes left, which typically I don't do because you never know how it goes. So I started writing it. I didn't finish it. I was like, all right, I'm going to get a couple of paragraphs in and see where this game's at.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton.
It was a bold strategy, but that's like I'm saying, you know, I've watched so much sports in my life. I feel like I have a good feel, and you never know. You never know. Anything can happen. A team can feel like they're going to win the entire game and lose. So I'm definitely not saying I know everything or I have this sixth sense where I can predict. But it just felt like throughout that whole game, especially when Memphis made that comeback, that it was their game to lose, that they were playing. They were the better team. They were playing better on both ends of the floor, and they ended up pulling it out. So It was very impressive. I think this game is more impressive than Wichita State game.
Absolutely.
Because it showed what you and I talked about 2 weeks ago. Can this team ever figure out how to finish a game? Can they learn how to finish a game? Can they learn how to win in crunch time? And they did that. You know, Wichita State, they get a 20-point win. They murder a bad ECU team that was shorthanded due to COVID. But this SMU team, minus Andy Yanovich, head coach, is full capacity. They have their entire roster. Tyson Jolly's in his second game back after missing the majority of the season due to personal reasons. So this isn't an undermanned team. This isn't a shorthanded team. It's a full-strength SMU team that is tied for second in the conference with Memphis going into that game on Tuesday night. And Memphis responded. They played well. They finished the game. They did all the things that I feel like we've talked about all year and said, this is what we need to see from this team. And they did that on both ends of the floor. I know they allowed 72 points, but this is the best offensive team in the conference, one of the best offensive teams in the country. And Memphis didn't necessarily shut them down or completely lock everything down. But they made plays when plays needed to be made on the defensive end. You mentioned that big run in the first half was largely due to forcing turnovers and forcing bad shots, which created easy offense. So the defensive performance may have not been spectacular. It may not have been perfect. But they did what they needed to do to win, and then they scored 76 points. And SMU is not necessarily a great defensive team. But shots were falling for Memphis last night. I think against most teams in the conference, they're going to have a good offensive game with the way they were shooting. And that's been a trend and a very positive trend that they needed to happen. They couldn't hit shots for the first 11 games of the year. And now you've got three consecutive games with 10-plus threes, shot 50-plus percent from the floor the past two games. So it's like everything has turned around for this team, and it's obviously very encouraging moving forward. It's not going to get easier. You still got a lot of tough games on the schedule. But if you play like this, you can beat anybody in the conference on any given night. And so that's got to be a very good thing, you know, for the fans, for the staff, for the players, just building that confidence back up. I know everything is trending in the right direction at this time.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that I've seen that I love about, you know, the over the last three games, and really this has been a trend throughout the entire year, is that every player is bought in on the defensive end of the floor. And so you mentioned a few minutes ago that the Tigers didn't play a perfect game defensively. They didn't shut SMU down. But what they did do was that they forced players that don't normally have the role of being the lead scorer, the leading threat on the team, they forced other players to have to assume that role, because Alex Lomax, Damian Ball, Boogie Ellis shut Kendrick Davis down.
Mainly Alex Lomax.
He took it personally. You could see it. You could, and in the post game, you could hear it in his voice. He took it personal that game was personal for him. And so that's one of the things that I think bodes well for the Tigers moving forward is that, you know, are they going to shoot that well the rest of the year? Are they going to shoot over 50%, 10 plus three pointers for every game of the year? More than likely not, but it's something that we said a few weeks ago. The Tigers are going to have a game against anybody because of their defense, because their best players are dogs on the defensive end of the floor. And so, you look at the Houston game, they're some of their best players are their guards, you know, Quentin Grimes and Marcus Sasser. And the Tigers have really good matchups with both of those players that can stop, that maybe may not be able to stop them, but can absolutely impact them and make it difficult for them to score. So, the SMU game, it felt different than the Wichita State game because SMU is a better team. They are top two in the conference. Well, not anymore, but they were top two in the conference. One of the best scoring teams in the conference with the preseason player of the year on their squad. They have a good team. They're a legit team. And so, to see the Tigers come out, you know, take some punches in the face at the beginning of the first half, and then fight back and start punching back, man, was a really, really good sign for, you know, the culture that's being built around the Tigers, what the coaching staff is doing, and how bought in the players are in terms of what they want to see happen for the team.
Yeah, and going back to your point about Memphis and the way they play against guards, this is not something new. This is something that's been a trend since Penny came on board. And I was thinking about it last night because I asked Penny in the press conference about shutting down Kendrick Davis and what it meant in this game. And I think the first time I can really vividly recall Memphis just shutting another team's guard down was Alex Lomax against B.J. Taylor in Penny's first year against UCF. B.J. Right. Taylor was a first team all conference guard. They also had Aubrey Dawkins.
He was the lefty point guard, right, from UCF.
I don't remember if he was a lefty, but
he was so
good. Yeah, he was a first team all conference player. Was at the time probably the best guard in the country, and Alex Lomax shut him down. And it's been a trend, man. Like I said, this team has always been so good in the backcourt defensively since Penny took over, in large part because of the way that Alex Lomax plays defense. And then to add another guy like Lester Quinones, who plays such hard-nosed defense and doesn't need the glamour, doesn't need the points, just wants to go out there and play basketball. So it's a mindset in this backcourt that allows them to do that. I talked about it before the Wichita State game, because the strong point of that team was Alterique Gilbert at point guard and Tyson Etienne at the two. I know Morris Udeze is a good player. But that's what the offense runs through, Gilbert and Etienne, and Memphis shut them down. Tyson Etienne was the number two scorer in the conference at the time. They shut him down. And then the SMU game, they played Kendrick Davis, who was averaging over 19 points per game as the conference's leading scorer, and they hold him to, 8 points on 4-14 shooting. So it's not dumb luck. It's not a mistake that Memphis keeps shutting the conference's best guards down. It's something that's been a trend over the past 3 years. So any time that they match up with a team that is guard heavy, they're likely going to be in it until the very end or win the game because they're so good defensively in the backcourt. And Kenny, over these past two episodes, we've broken down performances, you know, some of the top performances of the night. So I want to do that again and run through some of these players. First one, we've mentioned him a couple times, Alex Lomax. Not only was he incredible on the defensive end of the floor, extremely active, shut down Kendrick Davis, got in his face, stayed in his face, really played a mental game with him by the way he was shutting him down, but he also led the team in scoring. And you said this on the last episode, any points you get over 4 to 6 from Alex Lomax, you're playing with house money at that point because he's not supposed to score that much. So when he leads the team in scoring with 14 points, That's usually going to be a good sign. It usually means that the offense is rolling, the offense is flowing if he's taking that many shots. The one negative I can say about his game last night against SMU was free throws. Shot under 55% from the line, missed a lot there at the end of the game. So he struggled on the free throw line. But everywhere else on the floor, he was probably the biggest reason why Memphis won that game and had a very impressive performance once again.
Well, he struggled from the free throw line at the end of the game, but he got the majority of his points from the free throw line during the heart of the game, during when, you know, not saying that the end of the game wasn't very crucial, but, you know, I've seen it even today. I've seen some people say that if Alex Lomax leads you in scoring, then that means your offense isn't doing well. And I call bullshit on that, because it's how Alex, it shows me a lot about the team and what, you know, they're valuing getting the ball to the players who are open, wide open shots, you know, taking it to the basket, you know, making Alex isn't breaking folks down at the top of the key, taking it to the basket. That's not what he does. He did it a couple of times last night, but you look at the majority of his points. He got 6 points from the free throw line, and shot 67% from the field. And so it shows me that the ball is moving and hopping around and getting to the person who's open, and not being kind of a one-on-one type thing that we saw at the beginning of the year. You know, Alex was engaged in every level of the game yesterday. And so the fact that he did lead the team in scoring is just, it's a byproduct of good offense and him being incredibly engaged throughout the entire game. Alex is the heart and soul of this team. And that's what made the first part of this year so hard, because when your heart and your soul is having a rough time, it spreads, right? It can spread to the rest of the team. Alex, something clicked in him. I think we saw, you know, such a weird year with the schedule, and we're seeing that with the Tigers' schedule over the next few weeks. Just the weirdness that this COVID season is going to bring for the team. I think we're going to look back at the end of this year and say those 3 weeks without them playing changed the season for the team, because you're seeing two things, really. You're seeing a team that has completely changed the trajectory. Something's flipped in their mind. They were able to get away from the losses and the loss win kind of trend that they were going on, and just work. And a guy like Alex thrives in those types of situations, man, taking a step back. And so when Alex took that step back over those 3 weeks where they didn't have to play, I think that healed whatever was going on in his head, and in turn healed the team, if that makes sense. I know that I don't want to sound weird, but and then the second thing obviously is I think Malcolm got healthy, and I think Malcolm's knees are healthier than they've been the entire time he's been at Memphis. And so Malcolm has turned himself into a legitimate backup to Musa and DeAndre in the paint. So you know, Alex, man, just super impressed with the grit and determination that he showed to fight through the issues that he was having at the beginning of the year and turn it around. Because, man, you know, Alex is leading this team right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, that 3 weeks off, that really helped certain players. And I think at the top of that list, you can make an argument that Musa Cisse is right there, because he got to put in so much extra time working and just learning and not having to worry about the nuances of a game and just focus on his game alone, not, you know, a matchup or what was going to happen against this center or this power forward. He was just having to worry about himself. And you see the byproduct of that being, you know, AAC Freshman of the Week after his performance against Wichita State and ECU. And then he comes out against SMU, puts up his fourth career double-double, 10-10, four blocks, played a great game. Didn't play much in the second half, and I know a lot of people were asking and wondering about this. Penny was asked after the game, said it had to do more of with the matchups. They had an idea of how SMU was going to try to attack in the second half with the pick and rolls, with with Kendrick Davis and Emmanuel Bandamel, very good backcourt, so why wouldn't they attack pick and rolls in that situation? And Penny referenced the South Florida game against Caleb Murphy when in the second half they went to pick and rolls. In the first half they did it as well, but more in the second half, and he murdered them on those pick and rolls. Caleb Murphy was unstoppable on those pick and rolls. He was getting Musa Cisse one-on-one and breaking him down and getting to the rim. So to avoid a similar situation, Penny took him out of the game for the majority of the second half. So it's not something where we can say we know what would have happened because we have no idea. So that's what Penny and the staff felt was best. That's what they did, and they won the game. So there's not too much we can argue there. The five that were on the floor won the game for them. But I don't know if they would have been in that position if it wasn't for the way that Musa played at the end of the first half and early in the second half. We've kind of seen this from him the past couple of games. Like I said, the Wichita State game, he did the same thing, just exploded in the second half, and very similar performance against SMU. So it's good to see him settle down, find his confidence, because you could tell at times there wasn't much confidence there. And it's not surprising. He's an 18-year-old, supposed to be in high school, and he's playing against, you know, some of the best bigs in the country. But he's been able to find himself, to learn his game, to learn where he fits in right now at the collegiate level, and to do what he does best, which is dominate down low on both ends of the floor. Don't try to do too much. Do what you can do. Do what you're good at. Stand by the rim. If it's grab lobs and dunk them, do that. If it's grab rebounds and finish, do that. If it's being on the back door of a guard cutting at the rim, do that. If it's blocking shots, he's bought in. He knows his role. He absolutely knows his role now 100%. He's looked comfortable because of that, and obviously his performance has shown that over the past three games. Like I mentioned, being the AAC Freshman of the Week and then having another double-double in the win over SMU.
No, yeah, Musa has definitely taken steps forward. You know, you want to give your big man an opportunity to try different things in a game. So you saw him one time last night, post him up back to the basket and let him make a move. You know, the biggest difference that I've seen in Musa is just his core strength is getting better, you know, and that comes with time. That comes with, there's a difference between playing against Lausanne kids and private school kids in Memphis, compared to high-level D1 athletes. You've got to be ready to get beat up in the paint. And Musa has never been prepared to be beat up in the paint because he's been able to dominate physically in high school. He was just able to do that. And so at the beginning of the year, you would see him try to post up, and it's almost like every time he made a move and went up, he would get knocked off his position. You know, he would get bumped and he would just fall back and it would be short every time, or it'd be just way off to the right or left. What you're seeing with him is you know, a development in his ability to take shots in the paint, not shots as in jump shots as in like take hits, you know, get bumped. He doesn't get moved as easily as he did at the beginning of the year. And that just comes with time. It comes with reps, but you know, absolutely. You know, it seems to me that Musa is an incredibly coachable kid. And so that's a really good sign for a kid like him who's not played basketball very long, you know, throughout in his life. He's only 18 years old. He hasn't played basketball that long. And so, you know, what it's interesting, and we can go in this in a different direction in a second. I want to talk about Penny and kind of an evolution that I saw last night that I really appreciated. But it definitely seems to me that Musa is a very coachable kid, and that will only help him as he develops further along in the season and then into the off season.
Yeah, and I think you can tell that in interviews. We've talked to him post game a few times, and every time he always talks about just getting better and learning and staying after hours in the gym to learn what he needs to do to better himself and to be a better teammate. And you can feel that he loves it. He loves the daily grind. He loves being in there. He loves playing basketball. And we've talked about it a ton of times. You've heard plenty of people say it. Those are the kids that coaches love the most. The kids that want to learn, that want to play, that want to get better are the easiest to coach. So he's looking much better.
We do need to say, Musa, stop hurting DeAndre.
Yeah, Penny got asked about that last night.
How hilarious was that answer?
It was pretty funny, but it's so ironic because you see it in the last game, and then he comes back and gets smacked again by Musa, and it's just like, how does this happen?
If you haven't watched the post game, go to our YouTube channel, GoTigers247's YouTube channel. We post media availabilities, game films, mini films, you know, things like that, just to give you the best experience possible to understand the Tiger season. But in last night's post game media availability, they asked about that, and Penny said that DeAndre was laying on the floor and screaming Musa's name, Musa, as blood was pouring out of his nose. And it's like, I mean, I'm sitting there going, this is the second game in a row that Musa's dang sharp elbows have just busted up DeAndre. And that show, like, just that flailing kind of stuff, like, that happens in a game, especially when you got such big players in there. But Musa needs to stop hurting DeAndre, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Hopefully it doesn't happen for a third game in a row. But one last player I want to talk about real quick, Kenny, before we move on, and that's DJ Jeffries. We've talked about him a lot. Been a lot of negative, really, with him. There hasn't been a lot of good to talk about. And he wasn't perfect in the win over SMU. He didn't have some incredible game, but he did score 12 points. Mm-hmm. Had a really good outburst in the second half where it seemed like he couldn't miss. And after the game, he spoke to the media as well and said, you know, it just felt, he's like, he said he didn't feel like he was in a slump. I mean, everyone knows he's kind of been in a slump. But he said it felt good to just be able to see the ball fall again. And we talk about that so much with so many different players, how when you get into that kind of weird slump, can't hit shots, that you have to see them fall. You have to see something go in. And to be able to see a few go in a row last night had to spark him. We'll see how he responds going forward from that. But I think that is a big positive, because if you can get even 12 to 14 points from him a game, your offense is going to be much better.
Yeah, I mean, we've said this from the beginning, and you know, we've been kind of on DJ this entire year about you know, the slump that he's been in. I remember at the beginning of the year, you told me privately, you heard an interview with DJ, and you said the kid is different. And I think what's interesting about that is, I think if DJ was having this type of year last year, I don't know if he would have been able to come back from that. But this year, he's definitely matured just as a man. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, DJ has not produced in the way that the Tigers need him to produce. They don't need DJ being the leading rebounder every game. They don't need him to be, you know, the leading shot blocker every game. They need him to score buckets, because that's what he is. He is the most offensively gifted player on the Tigers basketball team. It just hasn't gone very well for him this year. But I say all that to say, one of the encouraging signs that I think we've all brought up numerous times is that he has produced in other ways. That production hasn't decreased in terms of, you know, what you see him leading the team in rebounds a couple of games, or, you know, getting a bunch of assists in a couple of games. Even though his shots aren't falling, he's still putting something out there. He's rebounding the ball. He's getting back and playing defense. He's, you know, passing the ball to the open man. What that tells me is that while DJ was not producing on the points bracket of the box score, he absolutely was still engaged and bought in to trying to help the team win. And a guy like DJ, you know, he is so offensively gifted that's going to come around. Like, his offensive skills are going to come around. I'm glad he's going through this right now instead of last year, because I think his maturity level at this point is allowing him to still hold on to that rope. And so, you know, he came in, Tigers were down 7-0 at the beginning of the game last night. DJ hit a three-pointer, and then he had that drive to the basket off the baseline where I think he got fouled, but, I mean, the guy was up, but he was moving into DJ, where he took the ball, took a hit going to the basket and laid it in, scored five straight points to bring the Tigers back. Now, you know, they still were down. They still went down by, you know, a few more points, like a double-digit lead or something like that in the first half. But, you know, DJ coming in and providing those two baskets kind of, I think, let everybody breathe for a second. And so what we've normally seen in the last couple of games with DJ is he'll come out and hit two or three three-pointers in the first, like, 2 minutes of the game and then just be and just disappear for the rest of the game. That back and forth stretch with Landers, Lester, DJ, and then the other players from SMU where it was three-pointer, 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 that was an incredibly entertaining stretch of basketball. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that game last night was very fun. We were texting about it, all three of us, last night, about how it was just back and forth. It was a fun game. It's, you know, one of those games you might get once or twice a year with one team, just having that very entertaining back and forth game. So, with that being said, Kenny, on the heels of that entertaining game, they have to go to Dallas and play that same team. It's not going to be easy to, you know, travel to Dallas and go out there and beat this team that is so good offensively once again. But what, you know, in your opinion, Kenny, what are some of the biggest things that Memphis has to do to get a second straight win over SMU?
Well, man, I think they need to do what they did in this last game and keep the turnovers down. You know, that it's clear to me when they're not turning the ball over, when they're not giving up possessions, they can play with anybody in the conference. So that's one part, keep the turnovers down. And I think, you know, Alex said it last night. He said, it's not like anybody's going to change the way they play in the next 2 days. So we just got to look at the film, shore up some of the things that we need to do, and be better. And we have a shot, we have a chance. We just beat them here. We can beat them there. And so, you know, it's not like, you know, basketball is a weird sport in that it's not like they're going to be able to come in and just revamp anything in 48 hours. There are some trends that are going to have to happen. But I think that in order for the Tigers to come in and beat SMU in Dallas, I think, like I said earlier, just keep the turnovers down, make their free throws, and just keep playing with that same level of willingness to share the ball the way they have, you know, in the last three games. You know, both DJ and Alex said it last night. They said, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were looking up and I want to help the team win, but the only way I can do that is by scoring. And now they're like, we're realizing that I don't need to fill the points, you know, the points up to be able to help the team win. I can help in other ways. And so they're much more willing to pass the ball to open players. Just keep doing that. Just keep doing that, and they'll be in good shape. Before we close this episode up, Christian, I did say earlier that I wanted to, you know, kind of talk about Penny for a second. It's not often in, you know, when you're especially a part of media, when you get to hear coaches talk about game plan and things like that, they really don't ever answer those kinds of questions. And so, you know, obviously, there was a big uproar on Twitter last night with Musa not being in the game and people going, well, you know, he needs to be in the game. Why is he not in the game? And, you know, I had a feeling it was a schemes issue. I had a feeling that it was something that he saw that he wanted to, you know, stay away from. But it was really interesting to me to hear him be so open about the decision that to not play Musa the last 9 minutes of the game with the media, because you don't hear that very often. Most coaches won't answer those kinds of questions. And you know, one of the knocks against Penny, or one of the good things that can sometimes turn bad, is that sometimes he doesn't have a filter and he's just too real, right? Like, he sometimes will just say things and you're like, oh man, or oh, that was really cool. Well, last night was the really cool moment for me to hear him talk about, you know, the reasons why he set Musa down. And it's a teachable moment for Musa, because they already had a game plan of when we sit down with Musa tonight and tomorrow to look at film, this is what we're going to look at so he can be ready for the next game against SMU or the next game against another big-time guard being able to stop the pick and roll. Like you mentioned, you know, at the earlier in earlier parts of the episode about Caleb Murphy and USF, you know, it really got the Tigers in trouble with Musa playing pick and roll defense, and DeAndre can handle that defense. But there were some things that Penny did in last night's game that, to me, it was one of the more impressive coaching jobs that I've seen him in the last 3 years. He did a really, really good job last night in terms of just, you know, managing the game and making adjustments.
Yeah, there have been plenty of games throughout Penny's 3 years where we've talked about it and said, you know, that was a hell of a game that Penny coached. I can think back to a couple games against Central Florida, last year's game against Houston. There's been some games in Penny's career as head coach where he's really shown that he can make adjustments in game, that he can get the guys in the right spot to win games. And Tuesday night against SMU was just another one of those moments. But with that being said, Kenny, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Head over to GoTigers247.com for any Memphis sports needs that you may have. The amount of pregame and postgame coverage that we're doing right now is pretty insane. I think we're doing 4 to 5 articles per game. And Jonah and I are also continuing to pump VIP information into the football thread. So if you need any insight, Memphis football, Memphis basketball, head over to the site and check that out. As Kenny was talking about earlier, our YouTube channel, we've really, really started to bolster that up and post a lot over there. So if you go to YouTube and go to GoTigers247, you can check out any of the post-game media availabilities with Penny and the players, any media availabilities pre-game with Penny and the players, and then also Kenny has done a series all year doing mini films on the game. So anything you need over there digital content wise, you know Kenny's got you hooked up. So go check out our YouTube page, go check out the site. And with that being said, Kenny, you got anything else?
I'm good.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you're interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.